The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And ladies and gentlemen, we are following breaking news. A white hearse being chased on an interstate freeway today. No, I'm just kidding. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Wow, was that too soon? Look, it's going to be a missed opportunity if they don't do that. Of course, the news breaking just a few moments ago that O.J. Simpson, who was found not guilty, allegedly, of killing his ex-wife and the boyfriend, 30 years ago? Was it really 30 years ago that happened? And what an incredibly weird story. And really set up, I think the O.J. Simpson case actually set up the current mood and climate in the United States. And going back to those days, and those were the days, gather the children around the radio today. They're going to get a little history lesson on what it was like before the world of Twitter and Facebook and the interwebs, when everyone was glued to the TV. I mean, everybody. Remember the Bronco, the white Bronco? And the slow-moving chase along the interstates there in Los Angeles, the bloody glove, and now people down at the funeral home are saying, if the casket doesn't fit, you must acquit. This is a final, hopefully, the end of an ugly chapter in American history, the death of O.J. Simpson, his family announcing his death a little while ago on social media. And they say that he passed away of cancer. So he was dealing with cancer. He was 76 years old. And a lot of people are going to be looking back and saying, well, he was a great running back. He was an incredible NFL player. He had great success in movies and in Hollywood. But the guy got away with murder. I mean, can we just get real for a moment? Do you really? Let me ask you this. Do you think he did it? Do you think he got away with it? Now, a lot of people to this day still believe that O.J. Simpson got away with this. And the way he did it, and this is what's really nefarious about all of this. The way that O.J. Simpson got away with it is that he claimed the police officers were racist. And the jury bought it hook, line, and sinker. And he was literally found not guilty only because of the color of his skin. So the New York Times headline, O.J. Simpson, athlete whose trial riveted the nation, dies at 76, accused of killing his ex-wife and her friend, the waiter. You know, I felt bad for Ron Goldman. He really got the short end of that stick, right? In the media coverage. Goldman and the poor family, I mean, his family went through it. They were there every day for the trial, and they were front and center, and the whole thing was televised. I mean, literally, life in America, if you remember back in the 1990s, I mean, life in America just stopped. Everybody was riveted. They had there was an NBA championship, I believe, and they literally interrupted the championship game to broadcast the car chase in the white Bronco on national television. And that was it. And by the way, this is why today you see those big car chases. That's why they actually broadcast the car chases on live TV. People are glued to that kind of stuff. Anyway, he looked fine a couple of months ago. He put out some sort of a Twitter video. I think somebody got a hold of OJ's Twitter or something and pranked a message after his passing. So he has not. And I am wondering, I mean, is there a note? Did he leave like a final, I don't know, in the midst of all of this, like, you know, they're going through the will, the reading of the last will and testament. And at the very end, it says, oh, by the way, I did it. You wonder if there's something out there like that. I mean, do you think he did it? Do you think he got away with murder? Some people said, I wonder what OJ's thinking now in the afterlife. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I thought they had, you know, central air down here. I don't know. I can see it. No, I just got a text. How dare you? That's a very, very bad thing to say for a Christian man. Well, I don't know. All right, maybe he did repent. But I don't think so. Anyway, he moved to Florida. I wonder if he voted for DeSantis. I wonder if he was a DeSantis guy. Anyway, remember he sold a book manuscript back in 2006. He said, the name of the book was If I Did It. And he was giving a hypothetical account of how the murders might have gone down. And it really lined up blow by blow. Poor choice of words. My apologies. So anyway, the book never got published. People went bonkers. And Goldman's family, they were after OJ's money. As a matter of fact, OJ was ordered to pay, I think, about $33.5 million. But what was fascinating is they had all of these cameras set up all across America. And so when the verdict was being read, and you had... Marsha, what was Marsha's name? Marsha. She was the prosecutor for the district attorney's office. And she was, Marsha Clark is her name. And now I think she writes murder mystery novels or something. Anyway, she was not that good at her job. And if you remember in the middle of the trial, she had this really bad. And you just hate to say this, and because she's a very attractive person, and she looked just fine, but she had a perm, and it was just not a good look for national television. And they literally brought in, this is a true story, they brought in these people to these stylists, and they gave her a makeover in the middle of the trial, and that made it even worse. But she looked, I mean, she was a fine, I mean, she was not difficult to look at, is what I was trying to say. So anyway, she did a horrible job, and then her co-counsel was just as bad. And if you watch The People versus O.J. Simpson, which was a fascinating series, and I believe it was on FX, and you can, I would encourage you to go watch it if you want to go back and just relive. I thought that series. That miniseries did a great job of bringing us back to those crazy days when the entire country, we were glued to the radio and our TV sets. But when the verdict came out, and you may remember this, do you remember what you were doing on the day that that the verdict was read? Do you remember that day? Because people were gathered all over the country, and they showed the images of this on television, and it was fascinating. When the verdict was read and they found O.J. Simpson not guilty, the black crowds cheered and roared and were hugging each other. And then all the white people in the crowds were like devastated, hands in their face, the faces, the whole, I mean, they were crying and they were disgusted. It was fascinating because it truly gave you a glimpse of what the power of television had done to this country and literally the nation. And that was the moment. If you want to go back in time, and everybody says, well, it was Barack Hussein Obama. No. It was O.J. Simpson. And it was that entire episode that I believe really led to where we are right now in America with racism at an all-time high and race relations in the toilet. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. No, I do not know what they're going to bury the gloves, and I don't know that. I do not know, but we'll find it. We'll get that information. We'll let you know. All right, we've got to take a break here. By the way, broadcasting today from our great affiliate KQAM, the Big Talker in Wichita, Kansas. We've got a big event. We'll tell you more about that a little bit later on. This is the Todd Stern Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. Well, you know, the other thing that O.J. did, and this is really unforgivable, and again, it's right now, O.J. is standing before, the judgment seat. And as they're looking at his life, I think one of the most egregious things he did was he gave us the Kardashians. That may be the most unforgivable thing of all. People may not realize this, but that's how the Kardashians came about and came to fame and to infamy. They happened to be very good friends with OJ and the ex. And of course, Robert Kardashian, who is the father, and I think he died in 03. He had cancer. Robert Kardashian was a very good, very close friend to OJ Simpson. Now, the great irony here is that while all of this turned into an issue of race in America, it was interesting. Before the arrest, OJ was not very popular in the black community. As a matter of fact, he had been accused of abandoning his people. He lived among the white. He lived among very super wealthy white people in the Los Angeles area. And so there's a great story of when the jury was actually visiting the home, O.J. Simpson's home, that they had to go in. And you know how they had these people come in and they'll stage a home? They actually took out all of it, because when they walked in, there were no pictures of O.J. and the kids or O.J. and his mother. It was all pornographic paintings and statues and things of that nature. So they literally come in and they replace everything and they make it look like he is this upstanding citizen the family guy with the photos everywhere. And people bought it hook, line, and sinker. Hook, line, and sinker. Let's go to Steve in Arkansas, listening to us on KWAM, our flagship station. Steve, what do you think about this OJ biting the dust?
The first thing that entered my mind, Todd, was, and this is something all of us need to think about. We're today, with everything that's going on in society, there's a high level of frustration about people, are frustrated with our justice system here on earth, our human justice system, and people not being held to account for their sins and evil deeds. And I'm talking from corrupt politicians to corrupt scientists and doctors that are out there inventing viruses and experimenting on people with drugs. We're all going to stand. OJ started yesterday. He started the real trial, that the one that really means something. It's the one that means how he's going to spend eternity. Anything he was found guilty of here on Earth just affected how he was going to spend the next few years. he's on trial today for how he's going to spend eternity. And there's a lot of folks out there, me included. We all need to think about that today and think we got to face this same trial one day that that O.J. is facing now. How are we going to stand up to it?
It's a great question, Steve, and you're right. I mean, sooner or later, there will be justice. So, and that day came for O.J. Simpson, as his family announced his death earlier today. So it's a great point. Steve, appreciate that call. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Yeah. So the big argument was that they literally went in. Nicole Brown Simpson's condo was completely emptied. There was nothing there when the jury came by to visit. But O.J., he looked like a Hobby Lobby house. And, you know, they were allowed to do that. The O.J.'s attorneys were allowed to do that. Robert Shapiro, one of the great criminal defense attorneys of all time. Remember Judge Ito and what was it, Cato? There was Cato Kalin, who was the pool boy. He was living in the guest house in the Jeez-a-loo. It was an insane time in American history. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, Rashida Tlaib is in the news. So a few days ago, you had all of these Muslims in Dearborn, Michigan, and the Muslims were out there having a big Papalooza, whatever they call it, and they're having a big Ramadan bash, and so they're getting together, and they're all chanting together, the Muslims of America. They're chanting phrases like, death to Israel and death to America, and they were doing it in four-part Muslim harmony. Death to America! Death to America! And, of course, the videos were there, and people are going bonkers over this, as well they should, because pro-lifers, by the way, are being put in jail at this very hour for simply praying and singing hymns outside of abortion clinics. That is a federal crime in the United States. But chanting death to America in Dearborn, Michigan is allowed under the law. So anyway, Rashida Tlaib was asked about all of this by a Fox News reporterette. And here's how that went down. Cut 22.
Congresswoman Tlaib.
Fox News. I don't talk to Fox News.
At a rally in your district, people were chanting death to America. Do you condemn?
I do not talk to Fox News.
But do you condemn chants of death to America?
I don't talk to people that use racist tropes.
Why can't you just say whether or not you condemn people chanting death to America? Why are you afraid to talk to Fox?
Fox News is not, listen, using racist tropes towards my community is what Fox News is about, and I don't talk to Fox News.
Is death to America racist? Is chanting death to America racist?
I'm talking about your guys' racist tropes. You know, you guys know exactly what you do.
All right. Well, there you go. I've never seen anything like this. So Rashida Tlaib, who is, I guess she is pro-jihad. It's not quite clear. Anyway, Rashida Tlaib, very upset, refusing to talk to our friends over at Fox News. Seems to me it's a pretty simple thing to say. Yeah, you know what? I do condemn people who say death to America. But she won't do that. She will not go down that path. And the question is, why? Why will she not go down that path? That's something that we can speculate on, but it's very clear to me that any American in Congress who does not condemn people out there chanting death to America, they stand with those people. All right, we've got to take a break here coming up. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, we are in Wichita, Kansas, broadcasting from KQAM, the Big Talker, our great affiliate here. Tonight, hosting a big book signing event, and we would love for you to come out and be a part of that. All you have to do is go to the KQAMradio.com website. That's KQAMradio.com website, and you'll be able to get information. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're having dinner, giving a few remarks, and, of course, we'll also be signing lots of copies of the brand-new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And by the way, if you can't make it to Wichita, you can get a copy of the book right now by going to our website, toddstarns.com. Again, that's toddstarns.com. All right, folks, hang tight. We'll be right back. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS. And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and we are broadcasting today from Wichita, Kansas, KQAM, the Big Talker, our great affiliate here in the Heartland. And joining us in studio is the CEO of Stearns Media Group, Dalton Glasscock, who is also a city councilman here in Wichita. So, Dalton, do I call you Your Majesty?
Only
Mr.
you.
Mr. Councilman.
Welcome to Wichita, Todd.
Well, thanks. This is great. You've got a great town here and good people. And you guys, it looks like the city's doing great.
Have you told Memphis yet? Have you told them the big news?
What is the big news?
That you're moving to Wichita?
Yeah, I'm not moving to Wichita. I am not moving to Wichita.
I'll let you break the news to them when you get back into town next
week.
Thank
you very much. Now you're causing problems. You're causing chaos.
Everybody at the station is just running around screaming right
it's
now.
Fake news. Fake news.
The sky is falling. The sky is falling.
Oh, my goodness. Dalton Glasscock has been with us for a very long time and helped launch the big national show. And Dalton, you are also very involved in Republican politics. What was that like, and how's it going? You're now on the Wichita City Council. You guys have a pretty big town.
It's a fantastic opportunity. Yeah, Wichita is about 400,000 residents. The metro area is closer to about 500,000. And so we have a pretty big impact. We're the aviation capital of the world. And so most planes, every plane that you've flown on this book club launch is probably from Wichita at some point.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
I had no idea. I knew that you guys were huge in the aviation industry, but the one of the things that I was really impressed with last night, went to this great restaurant that was literally at a private airstrip, and what was fascinating is people literally built homes and they can drive their planes right up into the garage.
You all should have seen Todd's face. We've been to Santa Barbara. We've been everywhere. And Todd was amazed by the opportunity to be able to go out there and be on the airstrip. So I've taken him to the best food. We're going to show that Wichita has better food than the South as well. Another incentive to trying to get him to move to Wichita.
Yeah, very nice town to visit, but I'm very happy in Memphis. Thank you very much.
I'm just going to keep this up. I'm just going to try to cause drama and start the rumors.
I love it. I want to play some audio for you, Dalton. There has been a lot of controversy right now surrounding Bidenomics, and I've been one of the people who's been saying for quite a long time now that the problem, that the big issue facing voters in the fall is not going to be immigration. It is not going to be crime. It is going to be their pocketbook. And people have been saying, I don't know what I'm talking about. They're like, Todd, the exit polling data clearly shows that immigration is the number one issue. And of course, now you have the pro-lifers saying, well, it's abortion. But I still contend it is going to be the economy. And Dalton, I want to play some audio. This is from a guy who did a series of posts on Twitter. Let's play, Dylan, let's play cut 23 and 24 back to back.
Can somebody explain to me in crayon eating terms why I make over three times the federal minimum wage and I cannot afford to live? And I do not want to hear the pull yourself up from your bootstraps, work 90 hours a week. That's not the goal, guys. That's not. That should not be our standard. I am so tired of people being complacent with this uniparty, both of them us over. When my parents were my age, they both made less than half of what I make and they lived alone. I cannot afford to live anywhere alone. A one bedroom apartment, $1,800. Two bedroom apartment, $2,200. Who the can afford that? It is embarrassing to come out and say that it is a struggle to survive right now. And do not get me started on what my grandparents were doing. They, $3,000 house. And yes, I understand inflation and all of the that they have been pulling with the Fed. Why are we allowing it? Why? And then I clock out of my shift. I am tired. I have to go home. And I check the news. Another 60 billion to a country nobody can point out on a map. What are we doing? Why? Where has the plot gone? We have lost it, folks. We have lost it. The American dream is dead. It is over, gone, and forgotten.
Wow. I feel so bad for that kid. He clearly can't even afford decaf. I mean, he is wound up really tight there, Dalton. But here's a guy, and he's just, I think this guy speaks for a lot of people in that age. You know, he's in his early 20s, trying to start out and not getting anywhere. Are you hearing that among people of that age bracket?
First off, he needs to wash his mouth out. He shouldn't be cursing like that, especially on the internet.
Dylan had to come in early just to do all the bleeps.
I know. We're going to have to give our staff a raise just for bleeping that out. Sorry, Dylan. Now, when it comes to the challenges facing young people, I mean, I think there are real challenges. And people want affordable options. They want affordable housing options. And again, just because you're in Wichita, I get the opportunity to highlight it because you're sitting in front of me. We're the most affordable city to live in America, the most affordable place to rent in America. So there are options for individuals. Even at that, it is a challenge for people to, you know, make the rent, and, you know, good for him for working. He's not trying to live off the government, and he's trying to get employment and trying to make his ends meet as well. But we have to have opportunities. And like you said, it will always come down to the economy. That is what every election and almost all of history has come down to, is if someone feels economically secure, they're probably going to vote for the status quo. And if they don't, they're going to want change.
And there are a couple of things that I completely agree with. It's sending $60 billion to other countries. And granted, we've got to help our allies, and we have agreements and treaties, and we have to honor those. But I think the average American, when they see how much money we are sending over to a place like Ukraine, for example, and they're struggling to make ends meet, and they're working, you know, 50, 60 hours a week, and they see all of that, those resources going to either another country or to illegal aliens. I'm wondering, what is it going to take for those people to switch over and vote Republican?
It's not an either or. I'm a passionate supporter of America's interest abroad, and I believe that we can do both. We are the most powerful nation in the world, and I think we have the capability to do both. What we need to do is get government out of the way and allow people and enterprise to be able to flourish. I mean, we look at, you know, when our radio station in particular, how many regulations, how much bureaucracy we have to deal with, and how much of a capital investment that cost us, that if we were able to leverage that towards our employees, we could help pay better salaries. We could help people engage. And so we really need to get government out of the way. And that's how you're going to see opportunity unleashed in this country.
The other thing, and the guy says he's working 80 hours a week and he's having trouble making ends meet. I'd be curious to know what kind of a job he has and what kind of life he's living, you know, because and he went on to talk about how later in another video about how he doesn't want to hear about, you know, their parents and how they had to struggle. Well, you know what? Every generation has to struggle. And especially when you're young, that's when you do have to sometimes work 50, 60, 70 hours a week.
Well, and this is your opportunity. Put in the hard work. You can be innovative. And we should be a nation where people can enjoy personal time. They should be able to do that. And I think we do a very good job with our staff of making sure people working 40 hours a week, we pay very good wages and people can enjoy their weekends. That is the American dream. We want to be able to make sure to leave the next generation better off, but we also want to make sure that we have opportunities to be able to enjoy life as well.
I just know when I was starting out, that was not, those opportunities were not there because you're so focused on working, paying your bills, you know, making, I mean, there's a lot going on in the early stages of, you know, of graduating and getting out there and starting your life. So I get it. But again, if you're out there eating avocado toast and brunch, you probably need to be enjoying a bowl of Cheerios at home. Instead of going out to restaurants, and you gotta budget.
You do. You have to budget. You have to make sacrifices, and you have to be. A lot of those challenges will present opportunities in the future where you don't want to live in that circumstance, and so you're inspired to go and do something different, or start a business, or launch a company, or work your way up in something. And so some of those challenges, you know, result in opportunities, and that you want a better life, and you're going to change your trajectory in the future as well.
So you've done a lot of elections, and so I have a lot of questions for you about this. So and you've been very successful. I mean, you've got elected. You're, you know, young. Are you a part of the? Are you a millennial or a Gen Zer?
I'm a millennial. I think it cuts off in 1995. I was born in 1994.
All right, so you weren't even alive during the whole, or you were barely alive back in the. O.J. Simpson, that's a poor choice of words again. Dead gummit.
No comment.
All right, so anyway, but you don't remember all of that.
Absolutely not.
Okay, well, anyway.
I don't even know what year that happened.
I want to get back to, I do want to get back to the elections. What is it going to take for the Republicans to win in November? What do they need to do, and who do they need to reach to make sure they can win?
We have to have a plan. Historically, we've been the party of no every single time. And so if we're going to, there are real challenges facing people in this nation, whether that's, you know, the rising cost of tuition and college debt, that is a real challenge. Regardless of whether people agree with an outcome or not, that is a real challenge. How can we offer a conservative solution toward that? You know, there are real challenges when we talk about international relations that we need to come up with an answer and a solution for. There are real challenges, again, from the previous video about affordability and about the cost of living. What are our solutions to those challenges? The real challenge when it comes to healthcare. What is our plan and what is our solution moving forward? We can't just be the party of no. We can't just be obstructionists. We have to offer a solution to Americans. And I think the solution is rooted in free market capitalism. I think it's rooted in innovation. And I think it's rooted in unleashing American potential.
I thought it was fascinating to watch Trump at this Chick-fil-A in Atlanta, predominantly black neighborhood. It's the same neighborhood he drove through when he was going to get arraigned, and you know, the infamous mugshot, and people lined up and cheered in this impoverished neighborhood. He goes by this Chick-fil-A, and it was the response. It was an impromptu visit. There's a huge crowd there, predominantly black crowd. And the reaction is something that if you read the newspapers would not have happened. And yet there was this moment that Trump really connected with the people in this restaurant. And I'm wondering if we are seeing some sort of a cultural shift towards, if not the Republican Party, to the message that Donald Trump is bringing.
Well, I think you make a good observation in terms of you didn't hear it in traditional media news sources because there's a narrative and it doesn't fit the narrative of traditional media. So that's why, you know, stations like KQAM, that's why stations like KWAM and a lot of the ones that are listening to us are making a difference, because that's how people can hear what the mainstream media doesn't want individuals to hear.
You know, I think that's a great point. And going back to Joe Biden, he wanted to connect with black voters. The polling data he's in trouble. And what did he do? He went out to a fast food joint and got fried chicken and brought it to a black family. And you've got this whole optics. And the media, if that had been Donald Trump, well, we know what would have happened, because Donald Trump brought fast food for a bunch of college athletes when they came to the White House, and they crucified Donald Trump. How dare this man serve fast food, Big Macs and quarter pounders to a bunch of college athletes? You know, they want caviar and champagne. Well, you know what? The college kids actually enjoy Big Macs and quarter pounders and the Filet-O-Fish, which is delicious. And then you've got Biden, and they're like embracing him. What a man of the people Joe Biden is.
One thing I love about you and I love about our conservative media network is that we talk about our bias. Like, you talk about that you have a worldview and that you have a bias, and then it shapes your opinion and it shapes your narrative. Traditional media sources don't. They pretend to be non-biased. They pretend to be not opinion-driven. And that's just false. Nobody is non-biased and non-opinion driven.
To that point, National Public Welfare Radio, you know, NPR, here is a radio network that cannot survive on its own. They rely on our tax money. The money that I earn from doing talk radio, from owning a radio station, is going to prop up NPR, which is a far leftist organization. The story came out just a few days ago that not a single Republican is employed at NPR. Not a one.
I'm actually shocked by that. But in terms of, I mean, I think you're right. There are defunct business models, especially when it comes to traditional media sources, that are only able to work based on government subsidy. And we see that not only in radio, we see that in TV, and we also see in print media. And that is a problem.
So the story, and we're going to have to take a break here. Can you stick around for a few minutes?
Sure, just
okay.
For you.
So the story out of NPR is their senior business editor, Yuri Berliner, wrote a letter. And it's a scathing letter accusing his employer of distilled worldview of a very small segment of the U.S. population. And he went on to say in this piece that was published that the audience, and this is fascinating, but the audience of NPR identifies 26% conservative, 23% middle of the road, 37% liberal. Last year, it identified as 11% very or somewhat conservative and 67% somewhat liberal. He says, we're not just losing conservatives, but we're also losing moderates and traditional liberals, saying that NPR has gone too woke. And they actually did a survey of the staff. There are zero Republicans in the editorial newsroom at NPR, according to NPR's senior business editor. It's fascinating.
And yet, industries like that and, you know, organizations like that will claim to be non-biased.
That's it. They don't see it. They simply do not see it. And I still have a problem that my tax money is going to fund National Public Welfare Radio. I have a problem with that.
I have a problem my tax money is going to fund a lot of defunct business models.
Absolutely.
I'm a free speech purist, and we have to have a competition of ideas and diversity of thought if we want our republic to survive.
And again, if you can't do that on your own dime, or you can't find sponsors and supporters, then you may need to try something else. But clearly what's working at NPR is not working. What they're doing is not working because they have to rely on a handout from the federal government. I got a problem with that, as well as the Sesame Street people, Big Bird. Big Bird's like a multi-bazillionaire.
Don't even get me started about other media sources, too.
I'm just telling you. All right. Hang tight. We've got Dalton Glasscock with us, broadcasting live from Wichita, Kansas. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, broadcasting from Wichita, Kansas, our great affiliate, KQAM, here with Dalton Glasscock, who is a member of the Wichita City Council, also Chief Executive Officer of Stearns Media Group. So Dalton, we were talking in the last segment about what it's going to take to really get Gen Zers to embrace the Republican Party. It seems like they automatically go and are somewhat attracted to the Democrat Party. And I'm really hoping that the economy is so bad now that they're going to realize they are going to be better off under a Republican government.
Republicans win when we talk about fiscal responsibility. We lose when we get sidetracked in issues that the average American doesn't care about. The average American wants to be left alone. They want to be able to have food on their table. They want to be able to enjoy a vacation every once in a while. And that's what we have to focus on, is how can we make life easier for Americans, and how can we make it more enjoyable where people can work and enjoy their life as well.
And I know this is really hard for a lot of young people to understand, but also you're not automatically overnight going to be a homeowner and be able to, you know, have a nice brand new car and take the nice vacation to Disney World or wherever. That comes with time.
It does come with time. It also comes when we're paying less taxes. And the less money that we give the government, you're going to have more discretionary income to spend on your own as well. And so I'm a fiscal conservative, true and true. And I think we also have to have representation for young people as well. Representation matters. And when they can see people like them in public office, they know that their voice matters as well.
I think that's pretty fair. And hopefully with the crazy loons that the Democrats are putting in Congress right now, hopefully we can make that happen. Dalton, that music means we've got to scoot out of here. So I will see you tonight at the big event.
Of course you will.
All
enjoy
right.
Wichita.
Dalton Glasscock, everybody.
I hope
Dalton.
You pick out houses.
All right. I'll be back in Memphis tomorrow. All right. Hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the big show coming up. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Big Show. Great to have you with us today. We are broadcasting in Wichita, Kansas at our terrific affiliate, KQAM, The Big Talker. And tonight, a huge event in Wichita, and we would love for you to come out and join us on our big book tour. I'm going to be speaking. We're having dinner, and you'll be able to purchase a copy of my brand-new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And would love for you to drop by. Tickets are still available, so if you would like to get a ticket, all you have to do is go to kqamradio.com. That's kqamradio.com. And you'll be able to see all the information there. And we would love to see you later tonight in Wichita. And then tomorrow, heading back to Memphis. And we've got a good friend. I'm introducing you to a brand new friend who will be filling in from time to time. He is one of the top radio guys in St. Louis. Jamie Allman is going to be filling in on tomorrow's big show. So we're pretty excited that he is going to be becoming and joining us tomorrow on the program. And then tomorrow, 5 o'clock Eastern, I will be back for the Newsmax TV show. So a busy day tomorrow, getting back to Memphis and getting ready for the Newsmax show. Our telephone number, by the way, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, our good friend Congressman Mike Collins is going to drop by talking about the latest on the FISA and the current status of that legislation in Congress. And next hour, Senator Bill Hagerty is going to be here. Of course, the Japanese prime minister in town, and President Trump off his meds last night. Did you see that? That was kind of embarrassing. And by the way, he was literally, well, we're just going to play some of the clips from the press conference yesterday. Cut number 9.
So we had a long discussion last, almost 2 weeks ago now. And the best way to reduce the chances of miscalculation and misunderstanding, that's number one. Number two, in our alliance we have with Japan is a purely defensive in nature. Third, next question. Who do I call on next? Hang on a second. I got my list here. Hang on. I apologize. Aurelia of AFP. And thus far, and it's tied to the hostages. There are a number of hostages that are being held by the Hamas. And just yesterday, we're meeting with the Vice President, our National Security Advisor, before that. And they're American hostages as well. Prime Minister is going to travel to North Carolina tomorrow to visit that project. Don't stay. We need you back in Japan. They'll probably try to keep you. our commitment to the defense of Japan under Article 5, including the Senkaku Islands, is unwavering. Thank you. Thank you. Why didn't everybody holler at once? Elect me. I'm in the 20th century. 21st century.
No, there you go. It's 21st century, Mr. President. 21st century. There you go. All right. Let's get Nurse Jill back. Can we get Nurse Jill to take him back to the room? Wow. There you go. By the way, the birds really chirping during that press conference there. This is pathetic, and this is very sad. We're going to check in with Senator Hagerty and get the latest details on President Biden and whether or not this guy is going to be able to go the distance. So in the last hour, we played some audio from a young Gen Zer, and the guy's really frustrated. I just want to play one of these sound bites again, and we have a lot of listeners, and you have a lot of life experience out there. And I'm wondering if maybe, just maybe, we can offer some suggestions to Generation Z on how they can start their lives off on the right foot. What are some things that Generation Z needs to do so they can get out there and live the American dream? Because this poor fella in Cut 23 is not living that dream right now.
Can somebody explain to me in crayon eating terms why I make over 3 times the federal minimum wage and I cannot afford to live? And I do not want to hear the pull yourself up from your bootstraps, work 90 hours a week. That's not the goal, guys. That's not. That should not be our standard. I am so tired of people being complacent with this uniparty, both of them f***ing us over. When my parents were my age, they both made less than half of what I make, and they lived alone. I cannot afford to live anywhere alone. A one-bedroom apartment, $1,800. Two-bedroom apartment, $2,200. Who the f*** can afford that? It is embarrassing to come out and say that it is a struggle to survive right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I get it. Now, it's interesting because he said he made 3 times the minimum wage is what, a little over $7 an hour. So that means he's roughly pulling in about $43,600 a year. And he's saying that he cannot live a good life on $43,680. And that may be the case. I mean, it may be the case where you can't afford to live by yourself, but you are going to have to live within your means. There are a lot of people out there, and if he's working, look, that's based on a 40-hour work week, and he implies in another video that he's working even longer hours. So this guy could be making as much as $50,000 a year, and he's saying it's not enough. So I'm just curious, ladies and gentlemen, what would you tell all these Gen Zers out there? Because this is a big deal, a big issue with Generation Z right now. And I get it. Maybe these kids are used to living higher and on the hog than a lot of us were. I mean, back when I was a kid growing up, we kids, we would never be able to go to a place like Red Lobster. That was a grown-up fancy eating restaurant when I was a kid. Right? We were lucky to go maybe once a month over to McDonald's. And that was a special treat for the kids. But these days, kids nowadays, you know, they're going into the little the juice bars and getting the liquefied lawn clippings, and it's like $10 for some of that nonsense, and you're like, what the heck is going on here? Or better yet, now, I'm a blessed person, so I can afford to do this. I hate brewing my own tea. It costs, what, 3 cents, 4 cents to brew a jug of tea? But instead, I will go and I will splurge and I'll go get a gallon jug of Milo's delicious sweet tea already prepared for me at the Kroger. And it's a couple of bucks. But if I'm making $43,000 a year, I may not be able to afford to get a jug of Milo's sweet tea, so I got to brew my own tea. So I'm just saying, what is it? What recommendations would you have for the Gen Z listeners of the Todd Starnes radio program, which, by the way, is free of charge. We don't charge you. That's the great thing about radio, Generation Z. That's the great thing about radio, millennials. We don't charge you. You don't have to spend all that money on SiriusXM. You can turn on the radio for free, and it's in your car. You're welcome, America. That's what we do here in the radio world. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. My good buddy Paul Shanklin just says, Todd, I'm sorry, but that screaming kid is not old enough to be that angry. I am. I don't blame you. Look, I get it, Shanklin. I get it. And I'm telling folks, I said it here, the first radio host in America who said the issue is going to be the economy. And when those inflation numbers, folks, if you think it's bad now, they're saying that gas prices in California, which is already, they're teetering on $6 for regular unleaded. $6. I mean, you got people already running down to the Amish communities to see if they can buy a buggy. They're saying in California now that the gas prices could very well go up another 50 cents. That's where things are going right now. As a matter of fact, there is a report, I believe it was over at CBS Evening News, and they actually got to give the media credit here. They're actually covering this because they have to. Cut 19.
For the third straight month, prices have gone up more than expected, from the rising cost of car insurance and repairs to how much you're paying at the grocery store every week.
Do you know how much one of these costs? $2 freaking.
This was $200.
We're supposed to skip the power bill this month so we can buy groceries or the mortgage.
Before the pandemic, all of these groceries, about 30 items, cost $100 on average. Now, 5 years later, according to Nielsen IQ, all this costs 33% more, meaning you'd have to skip about 10 items, like chicken, bread, milk, and bananas to make your $100 budget.
It's insane. And it's impacting everybody. And I hate to break it to the kid, but this is happening. His name is Nick, by the way. Nick with a C, not a K. N-I-C. That's the millennial spelling. This poor guy. I get it. Let's go to Patty in North Carolina, W-S-I-C. Patty, do you feel bad for this kid?
I'm going to stick up for him, Todd.
Well, you know, I don't blame. Look, Patty, I like this guy. Yeah, I like the kid. I do feel bad for the kid.
I mean, he's doing all the right things. He's not stealing from the stores. He's not, you know, he's trying to do it the right way. And he's not, all these illegals in like New York City getting $1,000 a month on their debit cards. And these kids, I'm going to tell you something, in November, these young kids, you can say goodbye to Joe Biden.
If I were Donald Trump, then there's got to be a way for Trump to hold a rally for Gen Zers and explain to them, hey, here's why you're suffering, and here's what we're going to do to fix it for you. And he has to lay it out in very simple terms. But this is going to be the issue. And I'm telling you, Patty, the Democrats are about to lose an entire generation here, and I love it.
And I hope they do, because I'm going to tell you, I heard this kid, and everybody, some people were like, oh, he's just, you know. Hey, listen, it is hard today. I mean, I'm 64. I just turned 64, and guess what? I can't believe this son of a gun. I was going to say something else, but I don't say it on your show. He turns my birthday into a trans day. My birthday was on Easter. I said to Nicole, he turned our birthday into a trans day.
Oh, geez, hello. That's terrible. Oh, it's terrible.
No,
well, Patty, I'm with you. Go ahead.
No, I'm going to say this kid. I'm going to tell you something. He's not the only one. They're going to go to the polls in November, and I'm going to tell you something. I think there's going to be a big shock with the Democratic Party.
I'm with you. I'm with you, Patty. Got to leave it there. Good hearing from you. Let's go to Ben, listening to us in North Carolina. Ben, what do you say about this young fella?
It's Dan.
My apologies, Dan.
No, that's okay. She probably gets it
It's anyway. Okay. All right, go for it. Yeah, we got it. We only have about a minute or so.
Okay. Well, my advice would be I'm not a Gen Zer, but you know, these poor kids get bombarded with all these things that they think are necessities. You know, I was born in 1966, just like you. You know, my parents had a budget, and we stayed within that budget. And I wouldn't be eating fast food. I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't have internet. I wouldn't have any of those things that were not absolute necessities. And set a budget and stay with it. And, you know, the other thing is, come November, you know, the people that are responsible for the, what, 14-18% inflation plus, you know, gasoline, groceries, all the necessities, I mean, that's over 200% inflated. Let's get them out of there and get back to what you know, hard work and good living pays off. You know,
Dan, here's my take. As bad as things are, I'm glad they're that way, because elections have consequences, and people need to understand that their bad choice at the ballot box is going to hurt them on their bottom line, and they're getting a kick in the pants right now, and maybe, just maybe, it'll steer this country in the right direction.
And get the government out of health care. They don't belong there. Get them out of, you know, let's get back to energy independence. Let's get back to making things here rather than importing them from China. I mean, or people that don't like us, like the Saudis and in the Islamic community, they don't like us. They don't. You read any of their literature, and their object is to subjugate us so that, you know, we're under their thumb. And, you know, I'm not going to go willingly on that. But
Dan, anyway, we got to leave it there, my friend. Appreciate you calling in. 901-260-5926 is our number. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Great to have you with us as we're broadcasting in Wichita, Kansas. By the way, big event tonight, and I'll be talking about my new book. We'll be signing copies. If you'd like tickets, go to kqamradio.com. That's kqamradio.com. And we'd love to see you tonight here in Wichita. All right. Let's go to Virginia. Amy is on the line watching us on Rumble today. Hi, Amy. What say you?
Hey, Todd, I am so glad I got through.
Well, you are live, border to border, coast to coast, Amy.
Yes, yes. I wanted to make a comment about the young man that wasn't getting by. And I just want to say, better things to come if you vote for Trump. And that is about all the advice that I could give him on that. And he needs to do his research and vote for Trump.
And you remember, Amy, you remember what it was like, Amy, back when we were kids. I think a lot of us forget how hard it is. And it really is hard. But your parents, you know, they prepared you for that. And I'm not too sure today's generations of moms and dads are preparing their kids to, you know, once they get booted out of the nest.
Yes. But, you know, I was always raised to be responsible, you know, don't live beyond your means, and I made it, you know, and you just have to, like, you know, back then it was kind of like it is now, you know, living on that line where you have to decide what to pay for, especially when you're single and you don't have a spouse to help you, you know. I stayed single until 2000. I just got married in 2000. We just had an anniversary. But my husband was kind of along the same lines. We thought the same way. You don't spend beyond your means. But nowadays, you have to spend beyond your means because you can't draw that line. You don't have the money.
Amy, let me ask you a question. Amy, do you have a copy of my new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming?
No, sir, I don't.
Well, here's what I'm going to do. You got to celebrate. You're celebrating anniversary, so I'm going to send you a gift. I want to send you a copy of my new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? Is that okay, Amy?
Yes.
All right. Well, hang tight. We're gonna get your information, and we'll send you a copy. Folks, don't go anywhere. We've got to scoot out for a quick break. We'll be right back. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program on our big national book tour. We started last weekend in California and made a number of, five or six stops in California, sold out of every copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, then went to Phoenix for a great conference there, sold out the book again. And tonight in Wichita, Kansas, making our way back to Memphis, and we're doing a big event with our friends at KQAM, The Big Talker, our great radio affiliate here in Wichita. And, of course, that's also the home of Congressman Ron Estes, who is a great friend of the program as well. And if you would like tickets to tonight's big event, go to KQAMradio.com. That's KQAMradio.com, and you'll be able to get all the details. And, of course, we're also coming to the great state of Georgia very soon. And that brings me to our next guest on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend Congressman Mike Collins from Georgia's 10th Congressional District. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
Doing fine. Appreciate you having me on.
Congressman, I want to talk about the big hullabaloo yesterday over these FISA warrants. And it just seems very simple to me, and maybe you can help me understand if I'm wrong here. I just believe that the FBI needs a warrant if they're going to spy on American citizens.
Yeah, you would think so. You know, you would think that would be basic, especially after in light of what happened to President Trump during his campaign, where they just ruthlessly spied on his campaign. So that is a huge sticking point. I know that, that may get pushed into rules here in short order, and that amendment will be voted on under a separate rule. I hope it does. It needs to be. Otherwise, it's going to lose a huge amount of support, including mine.
So, Congressman, there's a lot happening. Of course, the impeachment trial of Alejandro Mayorkas. I thought Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana just did a remarkable job of really illustrating what we're dealing with here, and the fact that what's happening at the border is intentional. Do you agree with that assessment, that what's happening is intentional and is meant to possibly cause chaos, especially with redistricting efforts?
No, you're hitting the nail on the head. Sure it is. You know, if you can get enough folks into this country illegal, however you want to get them in here, and then count them in the census, you know, that naturally spills over into how the congressional districts are drawn, and is how many congressional districts they get. And if you can pile more folks into a blue state, they're going to pick up congressional seats. And so, you know, that to me and a lot of folks seems to be the end game of what they're doing. And of course, they're playing with American lives. You know, you look at the criminal activity that's going on out there, 1600% increase just in the criminals that have been convicted, that are illegal, immigrants or aliens that, were convicted under the Biden administration versus the Trump administration. And Todd, we've got a war front on two fronts going on now, not just that southern border, but across this country with these criminals that have crossed the border to just set up shop and continue with their criminal enterprise and harm Americans and American people.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today is Congressman Mike Collins from Georgia. And Congressman, a few weeks ago, you, Senators Katie Britt and Ted Budd announced the introduction, or they announced the introduction to a Senate companion to your legislation called the Laken-Riley Act. I want you to give our listeners a thumbnail of a description of what your legislation, the Laken-Riley Act, will do.
Yeah, well, what it won't do is not a messaging bill. This is a solid piece of legislation that is good policy. And we took a look at what Abera did before he committed that heinous murder with Laken Riley. And he had been cited a few days before for shoplifting. So there is a list of criminal activity that local law enforcement can use to contact ICE. And it's on a larger scale, extreme scale as far as what they can contact them. And all we did was add theft, burglary to the list of criminal activity. It allows local law enforcement. They could have called ICE and had them come in and detain and deport these people. And some people say, well, you know, Mayorkas has got ICE and they're not coming to pick them up. Well, there's a second part in there that says that if they don't do that, states have the right to take Homeland Security to federal court and get a federal judge to make them do their job. So a simple bill, great bill. It passed the House with great bipartisan support. And, you know, we put that bill together in the House on a Friday, and we voted on it the next Thursday in less than 1 week. And then we had all Republicans and 37 Democrats vote in a great bipartisan way and push that thing over to the Senate. Now we just need it out of the Senate.
Congressman, as we look towards November, we've been talking this hour on the show about a young man. He's a Gen Zer. He's working his butt off. He wants to do things the right way, but he's really struggling with the economy, and he's incredibly frustrated when he sees the government sending billions of dollars to other countries, and yet Americans are struggling. And I'm wondering, I know that immigration is always topping the list of these exit polls, but I'm curious to hear from you. How big of a deal do you think the economy is going to play in the upcoming elections?
Well, you know, having been around a political father all my life, he always says at the end of the day, son, folks are going to vote right back here on their pocketbook. And watching these young people today, and so many of them, how they've been out there, they're struggling, you know, and I've seen that video, and he's exactly right. And I think at the end of the day, they're going to take a look at their pocketbook, and they're going to realize that the Biden administration, whatever they're doing, is not working. And you take a look at the people that are just above that threshold that were actually making their way into the economy during the Trump administration. Man, they know what it felt like to be winning. And certainly people my age, we know the difference in what the two administrations can offer. And I tell you, I've seen it. I've been out there with the Trump campaign, and there is an energy, there is an electricity out there. People want their America First agenda back. And come November, yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to win. We're going to get our America First agenda back. We're going to take our country back. And
by the way, I want to play some audio for you real quick here, Congressman, to that point, because President Trump was in Atlanta yesterday, and he stops in a predominantly black part of town, drops by the Chick-fil-A, and the response was just off the charts. And the media is not covering this. They ought to, but they're not. And I want you to listen to this audio. Here's a gentleman who actually had a milkshake purchased for him by President Trump. Cut 20.
Yes, Mr. President, don't listen to the lying government state media. We got your back. And also, thank you for the shake. The chocolate shake at that. My man.
He got a chocolate shake. Congressman, you're
you
there.
Know what, my takeaway was on that. In most times when you see a political campaign go into a place like that, you know, the staff is going to go up there and order 30 shakes. In this case, you saw President Trump walk up there. He knew exactly what he was wanting, what he wanted. Hey, you know, he went up there and ordered those shakes and talked to those people. And if you look, one of the first things he said was, "How's business? How's business going?" He's always wanting to know how you're doing, and that's the difference, because the Democrats and what Biden wants to do is try to tell you what they're going to do for you, and that's it. They don't really care about what's actually going on in the American, especially in business. So
that's
very
it.
Telling.
That's it. All right, Congressman, we got to leave it there. I always appreciate you coming on the program.
Thank you. Enjoy it. Appreciate it.
All right, Congressman Mike Collins from Georgia, everybody. And to borrow a phrase, my man. How about that? Got him a chocolate milkshake. Okay, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I'm telling you, folks, we are things are looking very good, but we have to keep everybody focused. We've got to remind people of the great pain and suffering that Joe Biden and his administration have inflicted on the American people. And quite frankly, and Chick-fil-A always does well because they have a great product, but I'm telling you, even places like Chick-fil-A, they're gonna get hit hard, and prices are having to go up everywhere. I'm just telling you. All right, let's go to the phone tree. We got a lot of people wanting to weigh in on this. 901-260-5926. Let's go to David in Georgia, WDUN. Hi, David. What's on your mind?
Oh, good afternoon, Todd. I just wanted to weigh in with everyone who obviously and is talking about the price of gas. Going into the grocery stores every week, it's up. But I wanted to throw in that my wife and I are 80 years old. And during the time that since we retired, what a lot of people out there may not know, and younger folks, and they need to be aware of this, is when you turn 65, your Social Security is going to start paying for your Medicare insurance. So they're going to take it out. And right now, my wife and I are paying $350, $175 each per month for our Medicare insurance. Then there's the deductible of one. You got to meet a deductible. Then there's the prescription drugs that you have to pay. And in all honesty, without getting into a whole lot of detail, we've gone through our 401k. We've gone through everything we've got. And we went through, I figured it up one time, approximately 40-something thousand dollars in insurance costs since we retired, because wow. Most every, including us, had company insurance. And this was just not something that we were aware of, and I think everybody out there needs to be aware. So when people talk about how much the groceries went up, and you know, you can't buy steak anymore, you can't buy you almost can't buy chicken wings. You can buy dark meat, but really, almost everybody in our age group, it's just about have to go into vegetarian, because you don't realize how much money you're fixing to go through when you retire, and unless you've got a ton stuck back, it's going to put a hurt on you, and I just want everybody to know that, and so.
I appreciate you calling in and talking about this, and I suspect there are others, and again, it's not just the Generation Zers, it's everybody who's being impacted, but especially senior adults, those getting ready to retire. I mean, that's it. It's hard to go out and find another job at that time of your life.
It absolutely is. I mean, you might could, but in my case, I physically couldn't. I couldn't do a light duty job. I'm one of those unfortunate folks that, you know, had the heart attack and has the pacemaker and the blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I mean, life, stuff happens in life.
Sure.
And so not everybody has that. But there are those that do, and we are paying a premium penalty here. And you just had a gentleman on from Georgia, and I have written our senators, both Democrat and Republican, and some representatives, and said, hey, look, you know, I understand that the United States wants to help the world. And young folks, and Biden wants to cancel student debt, and I'm like, why don't you just give me and my wife 1 year of not having to pay the stupid tax of insurance on our Social Security? I mean, hey, I'd be great to get $40-something hundred.
David, that it is a great thought. I'm super late for a break. I don't want you to hang up, though, David. Let me ask you, do you have a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming? Have you gotten a copy of my new book yet?
No, sir, I do not.
All right, well, good. I don't want you to spend anybody doing that because I want to send you a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? Is that okay? Is that all right to do?
That would be fantastic, and I would appreciate it.
All right, David, well, we're going to put you on hold, and we're going to be coming to Gainesville, and so I will, you'll bring, just bring your book to the book signing when you get it, and I'll be happy to sign it for you, but we're going to put you on hold. Let's get David, get his contact information, and we'll send David a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? By the way, folks, before we go to break, I did get a word from the publisher, and the hardcover editions have been replenished over at Amazon, so now you can get a hardcover edition, softcover edition. Of course, you do the Kindle, the audio version, the whole nine yards. So that's great news. And I'd love for you to head over to wherever you buy your books. But if you go to Amazon, you'll be able to order the hardcover edition of the book. Selling like hotcakes, and we're always excited to hear that news. All right, hang tight, everybody. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Well, it's going to be a lot of fun tonight here in Wichita, and last night had a wonderful opportunity to go out and visit some of our friends here in the area at a beautiful private airstrip where folks were flying in from all over Kansas, and had just a really, really nice night watching the sunset out here in Kansas. I got to tell you something. I know they don't have hills out here, but those sunsets are, that's pretty remarkable stuff. And looking forward to meeting all of our great friends here in Wichita. KQAMradio.com. If you would like to get tickets, you can still do so. You can, I believe, even show up at the venue tonight. Again, KQAMradio.com and all the details, the information on the event center, the whole nine yards. It's just going to be a lot of fun. You're going to be able to meet a lot of the staff on the News Talk station here as well as yours truly. And you'll also be able to buy books. Somebody sent me a message. Can we buy books? Yes, you can. I insist that you do. Also, we will take cash and credit, so you don't have to worry about going out there and getting cash. We will be happy to take credit cards as well. By the way, folks, I have to tell you about our friends over at Newsmax. And Friday, back on the Newsmax TV show, 5 o'clock Eastern, you got to get Newsmax Plus. It is now the fastest-growing streaming service in America. This is huge. When you sign up, you're going to get Newsmax, the Newsmax channel, and Newsmax 2, which is where I broadcast my TV show. You're going to get all of the great hosts, Greg Kelly, Greta Van Susteren, Eric Bolling. President Trump says Newsmax Plus is absolutely terrific. You're going to be able to bypass the big media and just get the news that you want, news that is fair and balanced. And we cover all the live Trump rallies. We never censor President Trump like the other guys do. So you can start your trial today. Just go to NewsmaxPlus.com to register. That's NewsmaxPlus.com and start watching today. All right, Senator Bill Hagerty coming up and your calls as well. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show, broadcasting from Wichita, Kansas.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We are on the road this week, broadcasting in Wichita, Kansas, thanks to our great friends at KQAM, the big talker here in Wichita, and of course, our great affiliate. And tonight, we're doing a big book signing and book event, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved, is my new book, and we're going to have a lot of fun. If you'd like information on attending tonight, go to the KQAMradio.com website. That's KQAMradio.com website, and all the information on tickets is there. And I will be back in Memphis tomorrow, and can I just say, after being out on the road for over a week, I can't wait to get back home. I'm a little homesick right now, but definitely want to say thank you to all of our friends in California, the Los Angeles area, and in Phoenix. Huge turnouts for our book signings, and we're just so thankful for that. All right, I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and honor to have with us my U.S. Senator from my great state, Tennessee. Senator Bill Hagerty joins us. Senator, hope you're doing good.
Well, listen, Todd, I am, and my congratulations on the great success you're enjoying with the book signings that are going on across the country. More power to the conservative blowtorch and my good friend Todd Stearns, that's great. And I'm just so happy to hear you enjoying that success. It's well-deserved, Todd.
Well, you're kind to say that, Senator, and I'm loving it, I can't wait to get back home to the volunteer state. I have to have my hills.
I get it.
It's a little flat out here in Kansas.
I totally get it.
Senator, a lot going on up in Washington, D.C., and of course, I knew that this would be an important event for you, the Prime Minister of Japan in our nation for a visit. And of course, as you wrote on social media, this is really a major alliance, and it is the cornerstone of peace and security for the world, and especially for Indochina or the Indo-Pacific region.
Yeah. Indo-Pacific. That's right, Todd. You're exactly right about that in terms of the importance of the alliance. And it's really rather amazing. I was talking to the Prime Minister again today. I saw him last night, and then again a couple of times today we were together. But if you think about the transformation in our relationship from World War II to today, it is absolutely amazing that we've gone from the fiercest of enemies to the absolute best of friends. I think it was actually encapsulated in a really cherished moment, Todd. This is when I was serving as ambassador a few years ago, and I invited my mother, who is now 92 years old, to come over to visit. And she greeted the Empress of Japan at the front door of my residence as U.S. ambassador to Japan. She greeted the Empress at the front door. And I watched my mother greet the Empress, and the two of them walk hand in hand and sit down next to each other to listen to my daughter play the Tennessee Waltz on the piano. And the Empress was so happy. My mother was enjoying the friendship. But I remember my mother telling me that she remembers when she was a girl, the day she found out that the war in Japan was over. She talked to me about the boys in her high school that died, and died under the orders of the Emperor of Japan. To think about that transformation and to see those two women who were about the same age walking together and enjoying the Tennessee Waltz of all songs, I couldn't think of a better one. It really did just underscore for me how much the relationship is transformed. And it's going to continue to transform, Todd. The more belligerent China behaves, the closer together it's drawing allies like Japan, South Korea, the Philippines. In fact, right now, there is a meeting between the United States, Japan, and the Philippines leadership to talk about how we, you know, get closer together there, because the Chinese Communist Party and the PLA, their military arm, are just continuing to advance their interests. Ever since Afghanistan fell, China has stepped up their belligerence, coming back into the South China Sea, the East China Sea, surrounding the Japanese islands. Again, under President Trump, we got them out, and they're back in the Taiwan Strait with a vengeance. And you probably have seen what they're doing with water cannons in the West Philippine Sea. So it's really a critical time. China is doing more to unite us than anybody else, but it's something that I'm pleased to see the Prime Minister here getting such a warm reception today.
Senator, I'm just curious about your relationship and your connection to Japan. That region is very important to you, and of course, you were the U.S. ambassador to Japan under the Trump administration. What was it that drew you to Japan?
Well, I was sent to Japan in 1988, and I worked there for 3 years, Todd. I was in the private sector at that point in time, and I was the senior Westerner in a U.S. firm that was working there in Tokyo, but we were handling the entire operations for Asia out of Tokyo at that point in time. I was there during the bubble economy of Japan. I saw Japan at its peak. It had just overcome the Soviet Union to become the second largest economy in the world. You may remember the Japanese bought Pebble Beach, Rockefeller Center. It was an interesting time to be there. We were at that point working on the Structural Impediments Initiative. It was very frustrating trying to deal with the Japanese on trade. We never did get a trade deal done until I came back as ambassador. And with President Trump and a lot of hard work that I put into it and our U.S. trade rep, we did get a U.S.-Japan trade deal done and a U.S.-Japan digital trade deal, the highest standard digital deal, in terms of how we protect, secure, and share information in an information businesses. We got that done. It should be a model for the entire region. The Biden administration has walked away from any type of trade negotiations and trade deals, but that'll be in place, and I have every bit of optimism that we'll get back to a strong trading relationship with Japan, a more reciprocal trading relationship with all of our partners once we get new leadership under President Trump again.
Senator Bill Hagerty is joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, patriotmobile.com/Todd, if you would like to see their great cell phone service, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, patriotmobile.com/Todd. Senator, we're also following the development surrounding the impeachment trial against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Where are we at now? I know the Democrats are trying to throw up some roadblocks.
They definitely are. I just walked off of the Senate floor to get on the phone with you, Todd. But Chuck Schumer is doing everything he can to avoid voting on this, to bury this, to hide it. He just tried to recess the Senate. I think he's got the votes to do it. I, of course, voted against it. I'd rather stay here all weekend and get on this issue. You think about it. In our 248-year history, the House of Representatives has impeached officials 21 times. Never have we not tried it in the Senate unless the person that was impeached resigned and made that point moot. But in this case, Chuck Schumer is trying to bury it, trying to sweep it under the rug, and trying to avoid even getting to a trial. He may have the votes to do it, but my goal is to put as much pressure on him not to do it as possible, and I hope the American public speaks up. If you look at what has happened under Secretary Mayorkas' watch, it's just a travesty at our border, and I don't need to take – I mean, you know it very well, Todd, and our listeners do too. But if you think about the abuses that have occurred under this administration on Mayorkas' watch, it is impossible to defend it. And because it's an election year, Chuck Schumer, I think, is going to abuse the Senate, abuse his constitutional duties, and do everything he can to just not have the trial. Unprecedented, but it's unsurprising at the same time because the Democrats have no respect for the institutions of Washington, certainly not the Constitution.
Yeah, well, it's just unacceptable, and I'm glad you guys are just sticking to your guns on this. And let's see what happens. I mean, he has to be held accountable. Senator, I know you've got a busy schedule. I do have to say, you have a pretty cool job. I mean, here you are visiting and hobnobbing with the Prime Minister of Japan. A few days ago, you were back home in Tennessee hanging out with Senator Blackburn at Mule Day. So it's a great gig you have.
Thank you, Todd. Well, it's a great state to represent. I couldn't be more thankful. And to have friends like Todd Starnes, it really makes it all worthwhile.
Well, Senator, we look forward to seeing you over in Memphis one of these days, and we appreciate you coming on the national show.
Thank you, Todd. Continue good luck with your book, with all your book events, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
All right, thanks a lot, Senator. Senator Bill Hagerty, everybody, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we always appreciate the senator coming on the program. He's a brilliant man, and just represented the country so well as ambassador, and is doing a terrific job. He is a businessman through and through, and just a good guy and doing a great job in the state of Tennessee. All right, here's the deal. We are going to take a quick break. We're going to open up the phone lines. We have a lot of people still wanting to weigh in on this young man who posted this message on TikTok. He is just so aggravated. This guy out there, he's working his job, doing what he can, and he still can't make ends meet. And we're just inviting you, our great audience, to offer ideas and suggestions on what Gen Zers need to do to get that, you know, to kick off their lives on the right foot. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, Mike Lindell has just an incredible passion to help conservatives get the best sleep of our lives. And that's why he invented the world's best pillow. And he created the incredibly famous and comfortable Giza Dream Sheets. I mean, the best sheets you're ever going to sleep on. And I will testify to that. As a matter of fact, I have not been sleeping well out here on this tour. And the reason why is the pillows. I forgot to pack my pillow, and now I'm having restless sleep. Well, the good news is, for a limited time, you're going to be able to get a queen-size set of those incredibly soft Giza Dream Sheets for just $59.98. You can also get the king-size, lowest prices in the history of the company. MyPillow is out there fighting for us every single day, and they've been canceled by the big box stores. They're under attack by the media, but they appreciate you. And we have been, I think our audience has been incredibly loyal to Mike and MyPillow. And one of the ways they're going to thank us is not only giving us these great discounts, but also free shipping on your entire order. If you order something today, you're going to get free shipping. Now, all you have to do is go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS, and that will get you all of the discounts, major discounts, some up to 60%. MyPillow.com, use the promo code STARNS, or you can call 800-839-8506. That's 800-839-8506. When they ask for the promo code, just give them my last name, Starnes. We'll be right back. And welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. So this is the Todd Starnes Radio Show, broadcasting from KQAM, the big talker in Wichita, Kansas. So, Jasmine Crockett from Texas, the Democrat Congress gal, has floated an idea. And she says, you know what? Black Americans have really been through a lot in this country, so we shouldn't pay any more taxes. No more taxes if you're a Black American. Cut number six, please.
Just this past week, I saw, I don't remember which celebrity, but it was actually a celebrity. And I was like, I don't know that that's not necessarily a bad idea. Mm-hmm. But I'd have to think through it a lot. One of the things that they propose is Black folk not have to pay taxes for a certain amount of time. Because then again, that puts money back in your pocket. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it may not be as objectionable to some people about actually giving out dollars. Yeah. But obviously, then you start dealing with the different tax brackets and things like that. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, we argue the reparations make sense, because so many Black folk, not only do you owe for the labor that was stolen and killed and all the other things, right? But the fact is, like, we end up being so far behind, right? And so it's like, how do you bring fourth people gap? Exactly. And so it's like, if you do the no tax thing for people that are already, say, struggling and aren't really paying taxes in the first place, it doesn't really exactly.
They may want those checks like they got during COVID.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, me. Yes, I completely agree with this. I think this is a brilliant idea, and I want my check. Look, by the way, Dylan, if you could do me a favor, if you could run downstairs during the break, check the mail. I did apply through the government for the name change, as I prepare to self-identify so I can get my reparations check. So, LeBron Starnes, that will be the new name, moving forward once the government approves of it. So, and I, Todd Starnes, after hitting the tanning salon for a couple of weeks, will be self-identifying as a Black man because I want my reparations money. Anyway, Congressman Byron Donalds of Florida, weighing in on this, cut number 11.
Well, it's a bad idea. It doesn't work. How are you going to delineate who gets money and who does not? Or in Jasmine's perspective, who pays taxes and who does not? That's a major problem right there. But at the end of the day, what you really want is an economic system with, whether you're Black, Hispanic, white, doesn't matter. You have an ability to build generational wealth so you can pass that on to your kids. That's the conversation we should be having. But when you have a crazy economic agenda from the Democrats and Joe Biden, it's not possible for people to get ahead and pass on and build asset growth and pass on generational wealth. That's not going to work. But I'll tell you when it did work, under the Trump economy. Because under the Trump economy, whether you were Black, Hispanic, white, everybody was getting ahead. You were able to actually increase your net worth.
Well, dang it. He makes sense, right? Doggone it. All right. Dylan, cancel the tanning salon appointment. It makes sense. It does. But meanwhile, you have a Memphis City Council gal. Her name is Yolanda Cooper. We were talking about her yesterday. Yolanda Cooper Sutton. And she's very upset. She doesn't like white people, by the way. Just want to throw that out there. Anyway, she's very upset. Yesterday she was blaming black on black crime on white people. And now she is calling for the minimum wage to be increased, but only for black people. Cut number 15.
Move the needle. Quit talking about it and be about it. I can't take another presentation. We know what the numbers are. We know what poverty looks like in here. We know what the minimum wage is. We know that we are below. We know all of that. But what are we doing? Just funneling money here, 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 and stealing it. And it's over. If you don't stop what you're doing, God is going to expose you and you're going to be butt freaking naked and you're not ready for the repercussions that's going to come behind it. I yield the floor, Chairman.
Oh, I don't know about you. I don't want to be butt freaking naked. I mean, that's kind of embarrassing. Anyway, she says that it's time to start paying. She goes on to say it's time to start paying people, black people, more than the minimum wage. Everybody else, I reckon, you guys are going to be left to your own devices. But I'm curious, what do you think about this idea of forcing people to raise a minimum wage for one race, but not all? She goes on to say, by the way, that the bigger problem here is poverty, and poverty is the reason why people are committing crime, that is the root issue. Now, I personally find that offensive to people who are living in poverty. And I would say, by and large, if you actually did a survey, I would be willing to say that the overwhelming majority of people living in poverty are actually law-abiding American citizens. That these are people that are going out there. And Yolanda Cooper Sutton, the city council gal, is suggesting that people who live in poverty are immoral. And I find that I would contend that they are very devout religious people. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, and welcome back, everybody. So happy to be broadcasting from KQAM, the Big Talker here in Wichita, Kansas. Tonight, our huge event. And if you would like information on attending, we'd love for you to drop by. We're going to be signing copies of the brand new book. It's going to be a lot of fun. Go to KQAMradio.com. That's KQAMradio.com for more information. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Memphis, Tennessee, Janie, listening to us on KWAM, wants to weigh in on raising wages. All right, Janie, what you got for us?
Well, Todd, it's not just raising wages. I'm 65 years old, and I've never been more confused in my entire life of the difference between right and wrong. And
what do you mean by that, Janie? What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, it's not right that you give people of any color or any ethnicity something different than you give the next person for whatever reason. My father was a farmer, and my mother picked cotton because I was with her. Do we get something?
No, well, Janie, let me work through this here. Let's work through this because this is a solvable problem here. So, Janie, first of all, tell me, are you a woman of the Caucasian persuasion?
Yes.
Are you Lily White? It's okay. It's nothing to be ashamed of, Janie.
Well, I'm told now that I'm white privileged, but why don't I feel that way?
Well, you should be privileged to be put upon, because that's what's happening here is that you're right. There's this is insanely offensive, and it ought to be illegal. And I hope somebody pulls the city councilwoman aside and explains to her that this is unconstitutional, and it's also against the law. You cannot give one race something and then take something away from another race of people. You just can't do that.
So racially divided, and I don't think that type of talk helps the situation any.
Well, the reason why, so Janie, the reason why we do this, I bring these stories up, is because, first of all, your local media there in Memphis is not talking about this, but you need to be aware of what these lawmakers want to do, and if they are left unchallenged, they will try to do this stuff.
Well, I moved out of Memphis about 4 years ago, Todd, so unfortunately, I don't see that I can challenge anything, but that doesn't make it right.
No, it's your right.
Given college tuition back is wrong. What about all the people that busted their butt and paid their tuition? They don't get theirs back.
Janie, you're speaking a lot of truth, and I know it's triggering a lot of people out there, but you're absolutely right. And no one from the administration is willing to answer those questions. What about the young men and women who didn't go to college? They just entered the workforce. Why should they be forced to pay for somebody's degree in lesbian literature or macrame? I just don't understand that. I really don't. And it aggravates a lot of people. So, Janie, I think you're right to be frustrated. And I think you've got a lot of common sense. And the people that are in charge of Memphis right now, they want to make this all about race. They're not governing. This is about payback for something that happened in the 1860s. That's what this is all about.
I didn't have anything to do with that.
Now, there you go again.
They didn't have anything to do with it.
I know, we were the Starnes family. We were in the fields. We were dirt poor. I think we have a few sharecroppers in our family, Janie. Where's my reparation?
I don't understand. We'll never get to where we need to be as people, let alone as a country, as long as we let this be said.
Janie, you're right. Janie, I want you to call us back one of these days. I like the way you think, and I appreciate you calling, and thank you for listening to KWAM. By the way, our good buddy Wyatt Cox over at the Nevada Talk Network, they carry the program on their stations out there. He says, Dave Ramsey said it best, life is not a snapshot, it's a film strip. Life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. It takes work. Be patient. And it's true. It does take work. All right. Let's go to Greg in Tennessee, WTJS, our great station there. Hi, Greg, what's on your mind?
Todd, let me butter your biscuit before we get started here.
That's a little personal there.
You have such an ability in your candor to make people feel comfortable and welcome to share their opinion is above all. It's there's bar none. You're the best.
Well, thank you.
Well, and another higher compliment is your show is the only thing that can get me to turn my dial off of AFR.
Well, I'm honored by my butter has been biscuit buttered. My biscuit has been buttered on both sides. Well, thank you for that.
But I have a Gen Z story I'd like to share with you. About a year and a half ago, I'm 64 years old. And I was sent out of town by my company to do some, job training. And I went with three 25 and younger young men. And we went out to dinner that evening after class. Thank God, a nice company paid free meal. And they asked me, said, you're 64. What's the best advice you could give us that would last us till we're 64? And I felt very humbled to be asked that by three young, like I said, 20, early 20s guys. They're all making $60,000-$70,000 a year, doing well. None of them were married, so they got big trucks. They were living good. But that guy that ranted and raved, you know, if he really wants to solve this problem, he needs to move out of California, Washington, Illinois, or New York, or wherever he's living, and come over to Tennessee and make real money. But they asked me what my advice would be that would last them the rest of their lives. And I simply said, evolution is a theory. Know that's factual. And if you want to live the rest of your life, strive to know your Creator. And the only way to do that is through repentance and an adherence to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you want my best advice, that's the best advice I can give you. And I would give that to any millennial person that's willing to receive the truth. Because if they'll find out what real truth is, they'll be set free.
Greg, I think that is terrific advice, and not just life advice, but everlasting life advice. And I love the mentorship aspect of all of this. You know, these younger guys going and talking to somebody who's, you know, been in the trenches, who's been there and been through those difficulties. And, you know, one of the things I love about church is that you have the different generations represented. And so, you know, there is some mentorship opportunities there. You know, you've got a couple now in middle age, and maybe they can come alongside a young couple that just got married and, you know, offer advice. And so that's one of those added benefits of being a part of a good, you know, church community. So I love this. I love what you had to say there, Greg, and I really do appreciate you you calling in. You know, we're not going to do this every show, but Greg, let me ask you a quick question. Do you have a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming?
No, sir, I don't.
All right, well, we're going to take care of that. Let's get Greg a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? Greg, we're going to send that to you in the mail. Is that okay?
Thank you very much. God bless you, young man.
All right. Well, God bless you too, Greg. So don't go anywhere, and Lydia will get all of your info there. Grace is going to yell at me. I'm giving away books left and right, but I just can't help myself. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going right back to the phone lines. Again, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up later tonight, of course, our big event here in Wichita, hosted by KQAM Radio, The Big Talker. And we'd love for you to come out, all of our great Wichita listeners. We're also going to be calling, as a matter of fact, Grace, we were already working on airline tickets to Atlanta for the big Gainesville, Georgia event. So we're going to be making an announcement about that as well. But today, tonight, one night only here in Wichita, we're going to have a lot of fun. So again, KQAMradio.com if you'd like information. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Mark from Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hey, Mark, what's on your mind today? Thanks for holding on.
Hey, well, thank you for having me. I wanted to make a remark about the big time young guy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was saying, as far as him making that much, tax is going to take a lot of money out of his paycheck every year and at the end of the year, because he has nothing to itemize. If he doesn't own a home, he's not married or have kids. So let's say he gets taxed, he's probably bringing in roughly like $35,000 to $38,000 a year. I live in Atlanta, and you're going to be hard pressed to find a one bedroom that's around $1,800 unless you move outside rural of Atlanta. And most of the good jobs, high paying jobs, are in Atlanta. So with all the inflation, that's actually really not a lot of money, honestly. As far as you wanted to live and save, you can live off of it if you live as far as like you wanting to save to buy a house later on and things like that. It'll be difficult in this time. And, another thing that I want to say is that I'm actually thankful that Biden and everybody in the United States gets to see what a bad president actually looks like. So they'll be thankful for Donald Trump. next election.
Mark, I think we've got a super bad phone connection. But Mark, we got the last part of that, and I think that is so true. That maybe this had to happen. Maybe people needed to see just how bad a woke president would govern this country. And Mark, I appreciate the call, and thank you for weighing in. And it's a hard look. Sometimes you got to have a little tough love, right? I remember when I was a kid and I did something wrong, and what would Dad say? Son, go get the belt. You know, and then he would say, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Well, that wasn't true. But the point was that there was a consequence to bad decisions, bad choices that we make. And I think that's what's happening now. And I do feel bad for people. But at the same time, you know what? This is what people voted for. And now we're going to have to deal with it. And that is a tough thing for a lot of people to understand, and especially young people. But let's hope these kids have now understand what the results and what the implications of all of that are. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, I want to play some audio from Maxine Waters. She is the congresswoman from Los Angeles on the South Side. And Maxine Waters, back during the Trump years, made a statement. And we played this audio a lot on this program. Maxine Waters was standing in a park, and she was surrounded by her gang. And I don't know what Maxine, I don't know if she's Crips or Bloods, but she had her gang there. And Maxine was telling her people, you get in the faces of all those Trump supporters. You beat the living crap out of them. That's what she said. We've got some audio here. This was Maxine Waters from years ago.
Let's make sure we show up wherever we have to show up. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
All right, so that's Maxine Waters stirring up the mob. And by the way, the following day, she was on MSDNC. And I believe this was back when Chris Matthews was still a host. And she doubled down, and she said that people should absolutely harass Trump supporters. Those were her words, absolutely harass. Well, apparently, the other day, Maxine was at her favorite restaurant, and I don't know if it could be Applebee's, it could be Popeye's, I don't know. But she was at a restaurant, and old Maxine, she was sitting down, and she was about ready to eat her meal when all of a sudden somebody pounced and interrupted her meal and got in her face and absolutely harassed Maxine Waters. And here's what Maxine had to say after all of that. Cut 17.
As a member of Congress with people, you know, who evidently had a racist attitude, and recently one even confronted me in a restaurant, and they don't say racist things, but right. What they say is they don't like something I said. They don't like a position that I took. But you know that, you know, if you were not black,
there you go. There you go. So if you disagree with Maxine, you're a racist. Now, it's okay for Maxine to get up in your grill and have a come to Jesus meeting. But don't you be getting up in Maxine's grill. Don't you be doing that. That'd be racist. That's racist. You see how all of this works, folks? You see, they've conditioned all of you people of the Caucasian persuasion out there, dare I say honkies, they've persuaded all of you guys to cringe and cower in fear at the word racism. So, therefore, everything becomes about race, even when it has nothing to do with race at all. You know what this is, Maxine Waters? This is not about race. This is not about getting up into your grill. No, that's not what this is all about. This is about good manners. This is about knowing right from wrong. This is about knowing that it's not racist to get up in somebody's grill at the Popeyes or the Applebee's. It's just bad manners. And that reflects poorly on Maxine Waters' upbringing. The fact that she would go out there and tell people to go and get in the faces of people that are just trying to eat their two-piece with red beans and rice and coleslaw down at the Popeyes when all they want to do is have a good meal. That's it. They don't want to talk politics. They don't care about your skin color. They just want to know if you want it spicy or mild. That's all. Maybe get a refill on the strawberry drink. That's all they want. That's it. But somebody in Maxine's life decided that, you know what? You don't need good table manners. You can just get up in somebody's face and give them the what for. No, I don't know. I don't know if Maxine Waters likes Popeyes. I'm a huge Popeyes guy. I used to work there when I was a high school kid. So, anyway, all that to say, Maxine Waters, the gift that keeps on giving. All right, folks, we've got to scoot out of here. It has been a great, great couple of days here in Wichita. I cannot thank the good people at KQAM for their kindness, the hospitality, rolling out the red carpet, the coffee delicious, the conversation spectacular, and we're going to continue it tonight. And if you would like to join us, go to KQAMradio.com, and all the information is there. All right, folks, look, get out there. Have a great one. Jamie Allman is filling in tomorrow as I make my way back to Memphis. Be good, America.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.